chapter 60, Knowledge of and Obedience to the Laws of Life, Wonders of the Human Body. We are God's workmanship, and His Word declares that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He has prepared this living habitation for the mind. It is curiously wrought, a temple which the Lord Himself has fitted up for the indwelling of His Holy Spirit. The mind controls the whole man. All our actions, good or bad, have their source in the mind. It is the mind that worships God and allies us to heavenly beings. Yet many spend all their lives without becoming intelligent in regard to the casket, the human body, that contains this treasure. All the physical organs are the servants of the mind, and the nerves are the messengers that transmit its orders to every part of the body, guiding the motions of the living machinery. As the mechanism of the body is studied, attention should be directed to its wonderful adaptation of means to ends, the harmonious action and dependence of the various organs. As the interest of the student is thus awakened and he is led to see the importance of physical culture, much can be done by the teachers to secure proper development and right habits. The health to be guarded. Since the mind and the soul find expression through the body, both mental and spiritual vigor are in a great degree dependent upon physical strength and activity. Whatever promotes physical health promotes the development of a strong mind and a well-balanced character. Without health, no one can as distinctly understand or as completely fulfill his obligations to himself, to his fellow beings, or to his Creator. Therefore, the health should be as faithfully guarded as the character. A knowledge of physiology and hygiene should be the basis of all educational effort. Many unwilling to study the laws of health. Many are unwilling to put forth the needed effort to obtain a knowledge of the laws of life and the simple means to be employed for the restoration of health. They do not place themselves in right relation to life. When sickness is the result of their transgression of natural law, they do not seek to correct their errors and then ask the blessing of God. We should educate ourselves not only to live in harmony with the laws of health, but to teach others the better way. Many, even of those who profess to believe the special truths for this time, are lamentably ignorant with regard to health and intemperance. They need to be educated line upon line, precept upon precept. The subject must be kept fresh before them. This matter must not be passed over as non-essential, for nearly every family needs to be stirred up on the question. The conscience must be aroused to the duty of practicing the principles of true reform. The principles of hygiene as applied to diet, exercise, the care of the children, the treatment of the sick, and many like matters should be given much more attention than they ordinarily receive. To study preventive measures. Far too little thought is given to the causes underlying the mortality, the disease and degeneracy that exist today even in the most civilized and favored lands. The human race is deteriorating. Many of the evils that are bringing misery and ruin to the race might be prevented, and the power to deal with them rests to a great degree with parents. Teach children to reason from cause to effect. Teach your children to reason from cause to effect. Show them that if they violate the laws of their being, they must pay the penalty in suffering. If you cannot see as rapid improvement as you desire, do not be discouraged, but instruct them patiently and press on until victory is gained. Those who study and practice the principles of right living will be greatly blessed, both physically and spiritually. An understanding of the philosophy of health is a safeguard against many of the evils that are continually increasing. Let the instruction be progressive. Children should be early taught in simple, easy lessons the rudiments of physiology and hygiene. The work should be begun by the mother in the home and should be faithfully carried forward in the school. As the pupils advance in years, instruction in this line should be continued until they are qualified to care for the house they live in. They should understand the importance of guarding against disease by preserving the vigor of every organ, and should also be taught how to deal with common diseases and accidents. Factual knowledge is not sufficient. The student of physiology should be taught that the object of his study is not merely to gain a knowledge of facts and principles. This alone will prove of little benefit. He may understand the importance of ventilation. His room may be supplied with pure air, but unless he fills his lungs properly, he will suffer the results of imperfect respiration. So the necessity of cleanliness may be understood, and needful facilities may be supplied, but all will be without avail unless put to use. The great requisite in teaching these principles is to impress the pupil with their importance so that he will conscientiously put them in practice. Knowledge of nature's laws is necessary. There are matters not usually included in the study of physiology that should be considered, matters of far greater value to the student than many of the technicalities common taught under this head. As the foundation principle of all education these lines, the youth should be taught that the laws of nature are the laws of God, as truly divine as are the precepts of the Decalogue. The laws that govern our physical organism, God has written upon every nerve, muscle, and fiber of the body. Every careless and willful violation of these laws is a sin against our Creator. How necessary, then, that a thorough knowledge of these laws should be imparted. Regularity in eating and sleeping. The importance of regularity in the time for eating and sleeping should not be overlooked. Since the work of building up the body takes place during the hours of rest, it is essential, especially in youth, that sleep should be regular and abundant. In regulating the hours for sleep, there should be no haphazard work. Students should not form the habit of burning the midnight oil and taking the hours of the day for sleep. If they have been accustomed to doing this at home, they should correct the habit, going to bed at a reasonable hour. They will then rise in the morning refreshed for the duties of the day. Insist on right healthful habits. Right habits of eating and drinking and dressing should be insisted upon. Wrong habits render the youth less susceptible to Bible instruction. The children are to be guarded against the indulgence of appetite and especially against the use of stimulants and narcotics. The tables of Christian parents should not be loaded down with food containing condiments and spices. We are not to indulge in any habit that will weaken physical or mental strength or abuse our powers in any way. We are to do all in our power to keep ourselves in health in order that we may have sweetness of disposition, a clear mind, and be able to distinguish between the sacred and the common, and honor God in our bodies and in our spirits, which are His. Importance of correct posture. Among the first things to be aimed at should be a correct position, both in sitting and in standing. God made man upright, and He desires him to possess not only the physical but the mental and moral benefit, the grace and dignity and self-possession, the courage and self-reliance, which are an erect bearing so greatly tends to promote. Let the teacher give instruction on this point by example and by precept. Show what a correct position is and insist that it shall be maintained. Respiration and vocal culture. Next in importance to right position are respiration and vocal culture. The one who sits and stands erect is more likely than others to breathe properly, but the teacher should impress upon his pupils the importance of deep breathing. Show how the healthy action of the respiratory organs assisting the circulation of the blood invigorates the whole system, excites the appetite, promotes digestion, and induces sound, sweet sleep, thus not only refreshing the body but soothing and tranquilizing the mind. And while the importance of deep breathing is shown, the practice should be insisted upon. Let exercises be given which will promote this and see that the habit becomes established. The training of the voice has an important place in the physical culture, since it tends to expand and strengthen the lungs and thus to ward off disease. To ensure correct delivery in reading and speaking, see that the abdominal muscles have full play in breathing and that the respiratory organs are unrestricted. Let the strain come on the muscles of the abdomen rather than on those of the throat. Great weariness and serious disease of the throat and lungs may thus be prevented. Careful attention should be given to securing distinct articulation, smooth, well-modulated tones, and a not too rapid delivery. This will not only promote health, but will add greatly to the agreeableness and efficiency of the student's work. Three essentials for family happiness. In the study of hygiene, the earnest teacher will improve every opportunity to show the necessity of perfect cleanliness, both in personal habits and in all one's surroundings. The value of the daily bath in promoting health and in stimulating mental action should be emphasized. Attention should be given also to sunlight and ventilation, the hygiene of the sleeping room and the kitchen. Teach the pupils that a healthy sleeping room, a thoroughly clean kitchen, and a tastefully arranged, wholesomely supplied table will go farther towards securing the happiness of the family and the regard of every sensible visitor than any amount of expensive furnishing in the drawing room. That the life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment, Luke 12:23, is a lesson no less needed now than when given by the divine teacher 1,800 years ago. Seek to understand nature's remedies. Pure air, sunlight, abstemiousness, rest, exercise, proper diet, the use of water, trust in divine power. These are the true remedies. Every person should have a knowledge of nature's remedial agencies and how to apply them. It is essential both to understand the principles involved in the treatment of the sick and to have a practical training that will enable one rightly to use this knowledge. The use of natural remedies requires an amount of care and effort that many are not willing to give. Nature's process of healing and upbuilding is gradual, and to the impatient it seems slow. The surrender of hurtful indulgences requires sacrifice, but in the end it will found that nature, untrammeled, does her work wisely and well. Those who persevere in obedience to her laws will reap the reward in health of body and health of mind. A comprehensive code. In regard to that which we can do for ourselves, here is a point that requires careful thought and consideration. I must become acquainted with myself. I must be a learner always as to how to take care of this building, the body God has given me, that I may preserve it in the very best condition of health. I must eat those things that will be for my very best good physically, and I must take special care to have my clothing such as will conduce to a healthful circulation of the blood. I must not deprive myself of exercise and air. I must get all the sunlight that it is possible for me to obtain. I must have wisdom to be a faithful guardian of my body. I should do a very unwise thing to enter a cool room when in a perspiration. I should show myself an unwise steward to allow myself to sit in the draft and thus expose myself so as to take cold. I should be unwise to sit with cold feet and limbs and thus drive back the blood from the extremities to the brain or internal organs. I should always protect my feet in damp weather. I should eat regularly of the most healthful food which will make the best quality of blood, and should not work intemperately if it is in my power to avoid doing so. And when I violate the laws God has established in my being, I am to repent and reform and place myself in the most favorable condition under the doctors God has provided: pure air, pure water, and the healing precious sunlight. We are individually responsible to God. Our bodies are Christ's purchased possession, and we are not at liberty to do with them as we please. All who understand the laws of health should realize their obligation to obey these laws which God has established in their being. Obedience to the laws of health are to be made a matter of personal duty. We ourselves must suffer the results of violated laws. We must individually answer to God for our habits and practices. Therefore, the question with us is not, what is the world's practice, but how shall I, as an individual, treat the habitation that God has given me?